Beleza. Okay, so welcome to the Bazoo contributor call. Just before we get started, I'll go through some housekeeping. Firstly, it's really important to be aware of the Linux Foundation antitrust notice. Please do make sure you're familiar with that and we'll abide by that in this meeting. Note that this meeting is being recorded and minutes will be taken so that we can post them on the wiki afterwards. If you could please mute unless you're speaking, that'll help make it easier for everyone to hear. And there's a raise hand feature in Zoom that you can use if you need attention and we can throw to you. So the first thing to cover is we've got a few announcements in terms of events that Bazoo will be at or has been at. The first of those is ETH Waterloo, which was this past weekend. So I think we had Tim there, Tim Baco, and probably a few others maybe. And there was a bounty put up in terms of mainnet integration between enterprise and mainnet use cases. So looking at how Bazoo can work and start bridging some of the gaps between private chains and mainnet there. ETH Denver is February 2020, Dano? I'm going to assume that's 2020, not previously in February. And ETHCC, the community conference, from the 3rd to the 5th of March in Paris. And hopefully we'll be able to have some representation at the Hyperledger Global Forum on the 3rd to the 6th of March in Phoenix as well.
Yeah, it is 2020. I was unmuted when I mentioned it. Sorry. Right. Announcements for the forum have not come out yet, so we don't know who's speaking at all.
Okay, great.
The announcements will be out on Wednesday. We're notifying everyone officially of whether they've been accepted or not.
Awesome.
It's looking good, if I'm giving a hint, that we'll have some talks accepted.
Great, so good to see Bazoo getting out around the world. Release updates is our next thing. So 1.3.4 went out last week. That was supposed to be 1.3.3, which did go out very briefly. And we discovered that if you had a existing database from a while back that was using FastSync, there was a compatibility issue there. So we rolled out 1.3.4 immediately with a fix for that, just to ensure that it's a kind of smooth upgrade for people and they don't get hit by that. There was no data loss or anything like that, but confusing when Bazoo refused to start in that one specific particular case. The plan is for 1.3.5 to be cut next week. That's just part of our regular two-week release cadence to keep things ticking along. And the kind of more significant release is 1.4, which is aimed for an RC on the 13th of February next year, and full release at the end of February on the 27th. On the last call, we went through a lot of the details of that and what was in it. Should we talk to the highlights of that at all, or just is it easier to refer to the notes?
I think we should talk to the highlights for it.
Great. Do you want to take us through that, Dano? I was asleep on that call.
Sure. Was it Arash that was on? It was either Arash or Tim who went through this. So Pegasus has some planned contributions. Chainsafe has some planned contributions, and Web3 mentioned some. The main ones coming from Pegasus is we're going to be doing end-to-end TLS encryption for our external connections. This is a security upgrade. Right now, a lot of our stuff is done in the open. Some of it is already encrypted when it comes to the P2P stuff. So we'll see how that goes on. But the big target is the JSON RPC for the ETH signer to get that end-to-end TLS encrypted. We're going to be adding more tracing APIs. These are going to be done after the style of Parity's tracing calls. We have support for guest tracing calls, but A lot of the people that we talk to that use these tracing calls much prefer some of the details to get out of parodies. It provides a lot more value for what they're looking for. The third big item that Pegasus will be contributing on is a focus on TPS and QPS performance improvements. For the, if you're going by the white paper coming out of performance and scalability, QPS is the same as RPS, reads per second, queries per second, just a minor terminology change. And we're going to be working on improving some of those. Some of those improvements may also be coming from ChainSafe and from ETC Co-op, so we'll see how that goes. Another big thing is if the Berlin hard fork happens or is finalized before we do our release in February, it'll include support for all the Berlin hard fork features. Our network upgrade is the new terminology for that. However, this is not something that Pegasus drives. This is the Alcor Devs Group that is kind of a council of all of the Ethereum clients that's going to decide what goes into that network upgrade. The network upgrade will happen in either the first or the second quarter because there's issues with the Ice Age, which is a feature of the Ethereum proof of work algorithm. Every so often, we need to reset the counter on that. Otherwise, the chain will become impossible to mine. So that's something that we need to do about once a year. And the fifth item we're going to add, this is conceptual design level stuff, and I think that people on this call can speak more to it, was we're going to be adding some more node multi-tenancy features. So we can have one process that could support multiple clients, either through privacy groups or some other means, or multiple chains. Not sure exactly what that is, but that's something that multiple consortia want to be able to run multiple consortia on one node and have the sufficient privacy. As far as Ethereum ETC support, that's coming out of ChainSafe Labs. We have had one merge so far. They have a few more queued up in the release queue. It's been a day off here in the US, so I haven't had a chance to look at those. But it's coming in on their own side, fork of it, their own private fork of Basu. They've been able to synchronize all the way to the current most recent block of the Ethereum Classic chain. So that gives me high confidence that we'll probably be able to see it by 135. The big barrier that has been the problem has been getting the DCO support correct. All the automated checks to verify that the DCO chain is secure has presented some problems with contributors. That you know is kind of a contributor barrier, but it's something we just need to support and work through. Privacy group management is something I think also that Web3 Labs mentioned that they are going to be working on. And as far as large contributions, we're not aware of any. We're always accepting small contributions as they roll in. And if you're going to do large contributions, probably best to do a design document on the wiki page to get feedback before you invest too much work into it. So that's the summary of what's coming in 1.4.
Awesome, thanks, Dano. And we may as well keep that page up. The next item on the agenda is to talk through work updates. And first one of those is ETC support. So as we can see in those notes, the work that ChainSafe have been doing on that is really advanced, and they've got a fork of Basu syncing ETC, and that's gone really well. So that started to filter in. The first of those PRs was merged, I think, a few days ago. And as Dana mentioned, the DCO issues have held it up a little, but we'll get there. So work will continue on that. We probably don't need to cover over the rest of the details, given that these are the notes from the last call and we already have. The next little piece is on the continuous integration server. So there is a migration, I think, just flicked over to make CircleCI the system that is actually publishing for a while. So historically, Pantheon originally and then Basu was running on a Jenkins server, which Pegasus hosts. We really want that on Hyperledger owned areas or owned infrastructure. So we've been running Jenkins and CircleCI in parallel side by side for a while, and that's been going very well. So we'll switch the publishing to CircleCI and in the next week or two, turn off Jenkins so that we're running purely on CircleCI. Ray, sorry, can I missed you before, but I'll throw to you.
Yeah. Okay, that wasn't too bad of a reaction time. But I wanted to ask, is the DCO something that is gonna that might happen again in the future, or is that like a one-time problem and for future contributors it won't be?
I suspect it will be an ongoing challenge for people the first time they contribute. It was made a little bit worse this time because they're working on a fork, so had quite a few commits before they pulled out a single PR. And it's only when you kind of put up the PR that you get hit with the DCO hammer and told you missed this. And then it's really easy to fix kind of one commit, like the first commit in your PR is quite easy to amend. And once it starts to get more and more commits, it starts to get harder to fix. And especially since they were breaking down the work they'd done into a series of smaller PRs, it became very difficult to balance fixing the DCO check with not getting merge conflicts. So it was a bit unique that it was that bad. But yeah, it will be a fairly constant bit of pain to educate people that it's that sign off line versus signing the transactions and that they need to do it on each commit and so on. But hopefully for most PRs, you should be able to just, worst case, close that PR and put the patch to a new PR in a single commit with sign off, and it's generally resolved fairly quickly.
So one of the things that I think that unblocked them was when they realized that we do squash merges and we're not going to be able to preserve their commit history. So they felt a lot more free to just get everything into one commit and blow the history away, since they thought that we were going to do a big complex merge like some of the other projects do. And none of the Hyperledger projects do that. I remember when we first started committing, there was a little bit of push to have us force everyone to squash commit before we merged in. But some of the Hyperledger employees became accepting of our practice of using the squash and merge button once we figured out how to ensure that we keep the DCO sign-offs in place.
Okay, great. The other thing that's worth bringing attention to is there is a design document up on the wiki, and it's linked there in the agenda for switchable consensus parameters. So that is the ability to, for example, change the block period after a certain block number. So if you're running IBFT, you can have an existing chain and then change some of the things that are going on there. So I think the first use case is to literally be able to switch out the validators. A couple of reasons for that being that you might actually want to fork an IBFT chain. You've left the consortium and are going your own way with it. Or you might have lost enough validator keys that you are no longer able to progress the chain and need to kind of reset. In either case, a hard fork needs to be scheduled, and at that block number, you can swap out the validators. So feedback on that design is very welcome and would be very useful. I don't know if we've got anyone who wants to provide more detail on this call. Nope, good. So yeah, it's there. It would be great for people to take the time to read it and give their feedback and discuss it. So that's the end of our scheduled agenda. Are there any other issues that people want to bring up?
Not an issue, but it's probably just worth bringing up. I think it was mentioned at the last contributor call, if not the one before, that we are still in the proposal process for Base Suite to become active. We're waiting. I think there's one TSC member that's outstanding with his review, but hoping to have the vote at the TSC meeting on Thursday, or at least the discussion, but we'll keep this group posted.
Great, thanks, Grace. So that is probably something that we should add to our future topics, which is the last thing. Are there things that people want to be adding to agenda for future calls that you know about now? So an update on active status would be useful. And that sounds like there's nothing else. So pretty quick one. But that's really helpful. Hopefully this has been useful for people to get updates. We'll get the recording and notes out on the wiki as soon as we can. Thank you all for your time.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.